kept us, oh God, you've kept us and given us a desire to come to hear what you say, Lord. Many are abandoning church this evening, but we're here to hear from you. Thank you, Lord God, for mind and Jesus, and a desire and appetite to hear the word of God, for in the end, we want to be saved. This we ask for the prayer and the blessings on those that are suffering illnesses, the prayer for justice. Pray, oh God, that you continue to keep him day by day, minute by minute. Keep him, oh God. Keep him under your blood and in your care. We know that you're going to do a great work, and this we expect to receive from you. We're waiting to see your hand working, and we know that you're going to bless in a mighty way. We pray for little Jason that you allow this flu to get no worse than it is. That you reverse the effects of life, that you keep him. Pray for the 2-year-old girl that you deliver from the hospital, oh God. Pray, oh Lord, for the elder homeless, that the and he said, go ahead and prepare something. The Lord dropped something in my mind right away. I was on my job, couldn't really address it, but the thoughts started rolling immediately. And we want to go to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. We're going to read verse 5. Give me 1 second.
Daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive.
But if ye forgive not men their trespass, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. One of the main things that the devil keeps us in a stronghold by is the past. Well, our theme, I believe, is forgetting the past for this year. To be an overcomer, you have to be able to get away from the past.
Amen.
The past is a mental prison.
Amen.
You'll never go forward if you're dragging the past with you. Remember the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt, and those that lagged behind were destroyed. That's why God told Saul to destroy all of the Amalekites, because they came viciously and killed the ones that were lagging because they had too many cares and concerns from yesterday. Our lives are like a book. If we just take the time to turn the page, close yesterday's chapter, and turn the page to another day, he that overcometh, God said he will grant to be with him in heaven. But to overcome, he must have something to overcome. So we have a melee of problems and issues that we have to overcome on a regular basis. Here we're in Matthew, in the 12th verse, 6th chapter, he said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If someone's done you wrong, or if you have an issue with someone, it had to have already happened, which means it's in the past. Forgiveness. We will never get to heaven if we can't forgive. We'll never get out of here. We'll never win this race. I don't know how many of us, I know I've kept a lot of fishing, and maybe some others, but if you're fishing, you can set on your reel a drag, and you can hook that fish. That hook can be sunk deep in his jaw, and he'll run. He'll just run like mad with that line, thinking he's free, until the tension on the drag hits. Then he finds out he's not free, and he'll run again, because you reel him in, and he'll keep running until he just gives up. The devil wants to get a hook in our jaw of unforgiveness. He wants us to remember everything that has happened. He wants to bring it in our mind so that it can be rehearsed again and we can relive it all over again. God says that he wants us to have peace and life, and that more abundantly. He wants us to have joy. And if we're going to do that, we've got to get away from the past. Forgetting those things which are behind. So forgiving our debt as we forgive our debtors. Who has anyone that has done them wrong? If someone's done you wrong, some point in your life, just raise your hand. If you've never been done wrong, then keep your hand up. Okay, we have some folks that I can raise hands, I can raise everybody else's hands. I've been done very wrong. But God's kept it. Now, I don't want to be a prisoner of my own mind. I want to get out from behind this wall that is remembrance of what someone else did to me. So if I forgive them, in turn, God will forgive me. Now, how many of us have never done anything wrong? Okay, no hands, that's good. Some of us are very neutral. But we've all done something wrong. We've all failed somewhere along the way. And we ask God to forgive us so that we could be saved. He says, if you don't forgive who did you wrong, I can't forgive you. Not that he won't, but God is bound by his word. So he cannot circumvent his word, so he can't forgive. So how many of us, this is just food for thought, How many of us are still in prison of unforgiveness? When we forgive, now when God forgives us, He doesn't bring it back. He doesn't make us conscious of it again. He doesn't browbeat us or beat us over the head or make us relive or hold it in front of us. He doesn't want to remember. He loves us enough not to want to remember whatever we did wrong. So He'll throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. And if you say, God, I'm sorry, like, for what? We settle that thing. It's over. But we, as people, and God understands, sometimes we struggle. But the forgiveness, if we can forgive, we can be an overcomer. If we cannot forgive, let's not be fooled. Overcoming will be something that will be an imaginary situation. We won't be able to engage in overcoming. And to overcome, you have to be an overcomer to get to heaven. Verse 13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. From evil of what? Evil of heart of unbelief. We don't want a heart of unbelief questioning whether God will free us from our own prison if we finally give up and forgive. Holding something over someone's head for almost ever will not work. I'm sorry if this is uncomfortable. I ask the Lord to give it to me the way He wants it to be delivered. And I'm delivering as I feel led. I don't know, I'm not involved in anyone's life. I've been around here that long, but God knows.
Amen.
And He knows every heart. And He knows every pain. And He knows every situation that's stressful. Now, God will not put more upon us than we're able to bear. But He won't stop us from putting more upon ourselves than we're able to bear. We can make our lives very difficult. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If life is difficult and you're struggling the whole way, maybe there's some unnecessary burdens that are carried that we can give to God. Let's work on overcoming, getting away from yesterday. Leave yesterday in yesterday. As a matter of fact, I'll make an agreement with you.
Amen.
You can worry about yesterday. You can carry yesterday forever under one agreement. If you go back and do something about it. Now, if you go back and do something about it, and I don't care, carry it, have at it, let it be a part of your life, whatever. But can you go back into yesterday and change a thing?
Amen.
You can't. Why carry what is not beneficial?
Amen.
We gain habits and ways that we have that we become comfortable with. Do you know people are in prison that are comfortable there? They're comfortable, they're in prison. Their freedom is so limited, they've got so used to having no freedom, they're comfortable with no freedom. But God said, whom the Son has set free.
Amen.
It's free indeed. God does not want us in prison. Jesus came and died so that we could be free. He died and paid the automatic penalty that we had upon earth that Adam had passed down from generation to generation. He freed us. He gave us an avenue to be free. Then we went down in His name. We got the Holy Ghost. We got the power of the world to come, the power of overcoming, just to re-imprison ourselves. The devil has many of us deceived that God is pleased with our life.
Amen.
Even the Lord says, well, I'll say the word of God says, if you come and you bring your gift and your brother has aught with you and you know there's a problem, leave the gift, go back, straighten the matter out, then come and offer it.
Amen.
The prophet Cain and Abel. Cain was angry. God Cain came correct, God would have accepted him. But Cain had a problem with jealousy. So he didn't like the fact that his brother got accepted. He didn't get accepted, and in time that time he killed his brother. But God has to accept us. We don't know our hearts. It's deceitfully, it's wicked and deceitful of all things. The Bible says, who can know it? God knows our hearts. He tries the reins. He knows how we work on the inside. Now, the devil, and I'm not trying to glorify him by no means, but I have to mention reality, he's there. And it's real. And when those thoughts come to your mind to do somebody wrong or pay somebody back, God says vengeance is mine, he will repay. When we repay, then we're not forgiven. And if we don't forgive, then we can't, our gift can't be accepted. It's just sort of waiting for God to take it. And our gift may be ourselves and our prayers, but are our prayers really getting through? If our prayers are really getting through, then we have some overcoming power. And so we don't have to live in yesterday. But think about it. If there's stuff in the back of your mind that you just can't bring yourself to get rid of, and I don't care who said what or did what, I struggle. I'll admit, I struggle a lot of having a bad boyfriend with God like anybody else. I struggle with yesterday. But I have a plan of incrementally getting rid of yesterday in sections, in chunks. I cast it into the side, and when I encounter yesterday, whether it's physical or mental, I try to show every ounce of overcoming power. Because I want to get rid of that burden. I'm tired of being under stress.
Amen.
Tired of all the blessings that God has for me. How can he give them to me if I can't get to today where they are?
Amen.
So our blessings are right in front of us, but we're too busy looking behind us to pick up the blessing that God has prepared for them that love him.
Yes.
Now, let's consider God's emotion. How does God feel? We got our emotions from God. How does he feel when we just won't believe? He says, forgive. If we don't forgive, then it's somewhere in the area of doubt. If you doubt God, that means he might not be honest. I'm just being real. I'm sorry. If I doubt someone's going to pay me, I don't think they're honest because they said they will, and I doubt they will.
Amen.
I have doubt. So we disobey because we just can't bring ourselves to come to grips with what God said. Then we have some doubt. And we doubt because we don't believe that God is going to do exactly what he said he would, but he won't lie. Into tomorrow and not then and yesterday. Hopefully, someone will be inspired to challenge themselves to be an overcomer.
Amen.
Actually, I'll ask you one thing. You would be so kind as to do it. When you have spare time, write down those things that you don't like. I don't care what they're about. Just write them down. Write them down. Make a list. If it's 25 pages of things you don't like about other people, okay, it's fine. I already know. But write them down and then make a plan to get rid of the one about them.
Amen.
Just get rid of them. There's a lot of people I don't too much care for. There are. I don't care for them. I don't like being in their presence. But I won't let them govern my future. They won't steal. They won't disrupt my communication or my relationship with God. I won't allow them to.
Amen.
It's a little too valuable. God says, cast out your pearls before swine. If somebody isn't worth the time of invading your mind, don't let them. We're in control of that. Just be the overcomer. So, scenario. You've done something horrible. Worst thing in the world you could ever do. Fallen so horribly that you don't think that there's hope for you anymore. Everybody turns their back on you. Nobody wants anything to do with you. You're shunned. You feel left out. That you'll never get up and run. Never be anything again. Well, God has an answer for that. Right here in the 14th chapter of Job. Starting at verse 7. But there is hope of a tree if it be cut down. You could be a huge tree, but if you're cut down, there's hope. That doesn't mean it's over. That doesn't mean throwing the towel. There's hope of a tree if it's cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. That tree is cut down, but it has life in it still. You can look at a tree stump and think it's over. Doesn't mean it's over. God says it's not over until he says it's over. It says in verse 8, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, for all visible signs, this tree stump is dead. It was cut and it's dead. It has no more value. Yet, verse 9, through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Who's the living water? Who is that water of life that at the scent of his water, we can live again? Church does not have to be mundane. It doesn't have to be dead and dry. But God said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with joy. God said to lift our hands and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't matter how many of us. You see, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst, and I think I count a little more than two or three. God's waiting for his people to recognize when we come together. It's not just a routine. It's an event. There's preparation if you're going to go on a vacation. There's preparation if you're going to go on a trip. Is there preparation when you're coming to see the Lord of all glory? How does God feel? What is God's emotion concerning each one of us? God says we are to be lively stones. He wants to hear from us. Silent, the rocks are piled, we hold our peace. Silence with God is not going. So we can say amen. It's okay. It's not against the law. You can say amen. Okay. I'm glad God's got really big ears. He heard that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. For in his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures evermore. We're going to go back to Matthew. And Forgiveness, I just can't get it off my mind. I can't shake the thought that we are, as a church, as a church worldwide, but as a church body here, are battling with issues against individuals. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Whatever the person, whoever they are, the person is not the problem. Look past the person to the problem. When Peter rebuked the Lord, he looked at Peter but talked to the devil. The devil was using Peter's emotions. When someone wants to be a disruptor in your life and cause you hurt, harm, and danger, believe it, it's not them, but they're being used. Bind the power of the devil. We have the victory already. Overcomes. To be an overcomer is to get the joy of the Lord in your soul. So when you walk in the door, you start having church before you leave the house. And then you can't wait to get inside the house of God because you're eager to hear what he has to say. How many of us have ever had a favorite musical artist? Favorite? Oh, raise your hand. You love somebody in musical. You couldn't wait for that next album. Eager, waiting for that next album. Waiting to hear it, can't wait to play it. Can't get enough of it, play it 25, 35 times a day. Because you just love what they're saying. Do we know what is being said? Do we love and hunger? I believe the pastor spoke about craving the Word of God, wanting the Word of God, nothing more than just an appetite to be filled with God's Word. Well, the God says forgive, he desires to bless us in a tremendous way. That's all he wants to do. But we are tying basically limiting God's abilities by harboring no feeling, by not allowing things to go. Let it go. And I'm going to say this, it came in my mind, and when I talk to anyone individual, I know this is probably going to be put on the CD so others can hear it, but because it came to my mind, I trust that God's speaking. Consider a coin. Quarter, nickel, dime, doesn't matter what it is. On a coin, there's heads and there's tails. There's two sides to that coin. Those two sides are often very differently configured. Marriage should be like a coin. There's a heads, there's a tails. They may be very differently configured. It doesn't mean that the husband and wife have to be identical twins. They don't have to like the same things. But that coin only has value when the head and the tail are fused together. If you cut the coin in half, it has no value. Let's say God pairs the marriage of a man and a woman as he does he and his church. So he said, I speak of great mystery, I speak of God and the church when he was speaking of a man and a woman. This is what God said in the beginning with Adam and Eve, and he said, let no man put him aside. He joined together, and God honors the joining together. And so we must walk in unity. Fused like a coin. The head doesn't look like the tail. One doesn't look like the other. Doesn't really matter. But the coin cannot be separated. Can't go this way and that and retain any level of value. Overcome. Tell the devil. It's too late. My mind's made up. My heart is fixed. I'm not turning around. I've already given up. I've already shackled myself to Christ. Forget about it. You owe me yesterday. You owe me yesterday. But right now, this moment, I am free. Claim your freedom. And then work to walk in your freedom. And the Lord says God wants us to do something. to conquer. Now, just so for the fact, the children of Israel didn't do a thing. Walked around the walls of Jericho. They walked around 7 times in 1 day. Walked around 7 times once a day, then the last day 7 times in that day. And then they shouted the victory. Now the walls were still standing. But when they shouted, expecting that God was going to be good to his word, the walls came down. The prison doors shook when they prayed after they were beaten. They were beaten. They were uncomfortable, but they prayed and they sang, and the prison shook and the doors were open and they were set free. God has so many avenues of freedom. We've got to take hold of the promises of God and don't allow the devil to get in the driver's seat of our life. Kick him out of the car. Let God take the wheel. Be on it for the ride. But God has a blessing in store for each one of us. We have to reach out and get that blessing. I will end with this. In the book of Revelation, where John was being given the revelation, at one time there was an angel with his foot on the earth and his foot on the sea. And he had a book in his hand. And the Lord told John, go to the angel with his foot on the land and his foot on the sea, and take the little book from him and eat it up. When you eat it, it will be sweet in your mouth and bitter in your gut. John went to the angel. He said, give me the book. The angel said, take it. God, John didn't do exactly what God told him to do. God said, go take the book out of the angel's hand. He went to the angel and said, give it to me. The angel stayed in step and said, take it. When you take what God has, you remind yourself with the responsibility of accomplishment. When you're given something, it may not be optional. You might have the option to not really want it, but you got it. How many of us have ever gotten a gift from God? You know, we didn't really want it. It was kind of ugly. Maybe a piece of clothing, didn't want to wear it, had to find a way to get rid of it. They just didn't want it. But if we take something and we take the responsibility of it, we took God's hand when we got saved. And he took ours. The difference is he said, I'll never let you go. No matter where you are, I'll never let you go. And if you feel yourself slipping, ask God, tighten your grip. Just tighten your grip on me. Don't let me slide too far. Don't let me get buried in myself where I can't see you. God wants to bless us. He wants to deliver us. Let's bring this year to life in our lives. Let's be the witness to the person in the pew next to us. See, witnessing doesn't just happen out there. It doesn't just happen in the street. We have to bless them in the congregation of the righteous. We have to have a testimony of how God is good so that others will be inspired to believe God is going to be good to them as well, for he is no respecter of persons. Being an overcomer. There were a few other scriptures that I'm not going to go and feel. I don't want the Lord to beat me to my seat. If you feel as that a feeling of rushing by the wind, that means God is gone and I'm still here. So I would cry out like the Lord on the cross, Lama Sabbatana, why did you leave me? But I hope we can take something and overcome. Please, do yourself a favor. Just write it down. Somehow, when things are on paper, you view them on paper, and not just left to be indiscriminate in your mind, they're more real. I don't care who it is, be private about it. You don't have to be public about it. Don't share it. Share it with God. Write it down. I don't care how long it takes. And daily, just take the paper in your hand when you go to pray and say, Lord, please set me free. Set me free so I can be used by you. Set me free. The word of God says in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but some of wood and some of earth. Said if a man would therefore purge himself from being in the crucible of Christ. The crucible is like a forging furnace where you boil precious metals to get them pure. And God's eyes were precious. But sometimes we have to be boiled a little bit to bring out some impurities. Life will be uncomfortable. God never said it'd be a bed of roses. That's why we have battles. That's why we have to overcome. To him that overcometh. We have an opposition and opposing us on the devil. Satan, call him what you will. But it's real. And with many of us, we have a hook on our jaw and set on the track. And we think we're running for the Lord, and we're going to find out we're hooked. Overcomers. Forgive. Just forgive. That's the first step to victory. All things are possible. We believe. And I don't believe we're. Are we going to take an offering now, or we're not going to worry about it? Don't worry about it. If there are no other announcements, firstly, have you updates on justice or any other announcements?
For the word of God, for the messenger. Did he do a great job?
Amen.
Amen.